verses, in stanza 5, O fill me with thy fullness, Lord. It's one of the prayers in the Bible that Paul prayed for others, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. Fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart overflow. And sometimes people have a little bit of trouble. They say, but you know, I don't know how to witness. I'm afraid. Let me tell you something. If you're filled with God's fullness and your life overflows with his fullness, you can't help but be a witness. People who know you, whether they're relatives or neighbors or people you work with or at school, some of you are in school, wherever it is, they know there's something about you because why? You're filled with God's fullness and it can't help but overflow. There's something in your life that's different about other people. And it brings up opportunities to witness. So the greatest thing that you need to be a witness for the Lord, be filled with his fullness. If you're full of him, it comes out, it overflows. So that's really all we're trying to do there in South Africa as we serve the Lord. Filled with his fullness that as we minister to others, they see his light. And thank you for being a part of that. You've been part of our ministry. We thank you for that. In reaching people in South Africa with the gospel of Jesus Christ and being trained to serve him. I want to start this morning with an illustration. I've got a cup here. Now, if I dip this in the sewer and then I dump it out and I clean up the outside, if some of you can see some of the back, it might be hard to see, but you see it's still a bit dirty inside there, okay? And then I pour in some tea or coffee or whatever you would like there, Coke, and I offer it to you. What are you going to say? No way. You gave me a dirty cup. I'm not about to drink out. I said, but I cleaned up the outside. I dumped out all the sewers, just little remnants there. I mean, really, for the most part, it's clean, you know. And you say, no way. Okay, I won't drink out of that. All right. Well, the theme of this missions conference this year is being a fit vessel. This is one kind of a vessel. If we're going to drink out of a vessel or a mug or a cup, we want it to be clean. God wants to use you. God has called your life a vessel, but he wants you to be a clean vessel. And if you're a clean vessel, he can use you. And I want us to look this morning and think about, as we're a vessel for God, what kind of a vessel God will use in his work. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at some things here in this passage that helps us to see how to be used of God. First of all, I want us to see that to be a fit vessel who will be used of God, you need to be saved. Let me repeat that. To be a fit vessel who will be used of God, you need to be saved. In verse 19, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, the first part of this verse says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. This is a simple way of talking about those who are saved. God knows everyone, but he doesn't have a close relationship with unbelievers. He doesn't have that personal knowledge, that personal intimate relationship with an unbeliever. This idea goes back into the Old Testament. Some of you will remember Psalm chapter 1 and verse 6. Psalm 1:6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, God knows everybody. It's not that God's stupid. It's not that he's ignorant. I mean, we know he's all-knowing, but he doesn't personally have that relationship with everybody. Now, this shows us there are two ways in life. Psalm 1:6 talks about the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. We find this in the New Testament in John 3:36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, in the end, there are only two ways. There is everlasting life, and there is the way of perishing or the way of everlasting destruction. The way of everlasting life ultimately leads to heaven. The way of destruction or perishing leads to hell. Now it talks here in John 3:36 about he that believeth on the Son. Of course, Jesus is the Son of God. He came and he died for your sins.
He's the only one who can take away your sin. Many people have this idea that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, but that actually isn't true. Because good people don't go to heaven. Heaven is perfect. Guess what kind of people go to heaven? Perfect people. And that's why you and I have a problem, because we, as good as we may be, we're not perfect. And all of the good things you do will never take away your sin. See, if I, let's say we were at the picnic yesterday, and a lot of you were there, and perhaps not everybody was able to make it, but we were there, and we went out, we did some games, and we did a sack race, and some of us fell down, and we played volleyball in the sand, and we got all dirty. And so I get my shirt all dirty, so I go home, and I just put a clean shirt over top of it. And then I get that dirty, and I put another clean shirt over top of it. And I get that dirty, and so this morning I actually have five shirts. No, I'm just kidding. What do I do? I went home, I took off my dirty shirt, I took a shower, and I cleaned up, okay? But no matter how many clean shirts you put on top of a dirty shirt, your dirty shirt's now, other people might not see that dirty shirt, but it's there. God sees everything. You can try to take your good works and hide your sin, but you can't hide it from God. And God will not let any sin into heaven. That, folks, is why we need forgiveness, because we can never be perfect in ourselves. But we have a perfect Savior who died for us and rose again. And if you will come to him and say, Jesus, I've sinned. I've blown it. I know I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve to be punished in hell. Thank you for dying for me. Here's my life. Cleanse my life. Give me new life in you. And then he saves you. Hebrews 7:19 says, for the law made nothing perfect. In other words, your good works don't make you perfect. Your good works can't take you to heaven. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. What is that better hope? Probably the most famous verse in the Bible explains it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now you can put your name in there, because you're part of the world. He loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God actually wants to give you everlasting life. His desire isn't that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And repentance is not changing your own life, turning over a new leaf. Repentance is coming to God and saying, God, I've blown it. I need your forgiveness. And when you believe with all of your heart, he saves you. He brings you into his family. It's a better hope. I'd like to ask you, did you ever believe on Jesus with all of your heart? Did you ever ask Jesus to cleanse you from your sin so that you could be taken out of the family of Satan and put into his family? Then what he does, he brings his righteousness. And the reason we're good people isn't because we're good enough. It's because Jesus brought his righteousness into our life. And now as Christians, what do we do? We are living out what he has given to us. Sometimes we get accused. You ever try to talk to someone about the Lord and say, oh, you just think you're better than I am? Well, we need to make sure we don't have a proud attitude. Sometimes that can happen. Did you try to witness someone, you think, well, I'm better than he is, he needs what I have because I'm better than he. It's not because you're better than anybody else. Whatever is good in you, God has put there. Don't try to take credit that you're a wonderful person. Thank God for what he has put into your life. But sometimes when we try to witness to people, they feel convicted, they feel guilty, and to try to justify themselves, they say, well, you just think you're better than I am. You know what you need to explain to them? I'm no better than you are. Remember what Paul said? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Even the Apostle Paul realized any good thing in his life is what God put in. We don't go out and witness to people because we're better than they are. We found a gift that God wants to give to them. And although they might accuse us, we think we're better than they are. That isn't the issue. The issue is we found forgiveness and eternal life that they can have. So don't let it scare you when people come with that kind of an idea. When we believe, we get eternal life and forgiveness. If you've never done that, if you've never asked Jesus to save you from your sins, you know today is the day he wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to bring you to his family so that when you die, you know you have a home in heaven. So first of all, to be a fit vessel who will be used of God, you need to be saved. But secondly, to be a fit vessel who will be used of God, you need to be pure or sanctified. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. We'll focus on the last part of the verse, but I'll begin at the beginning. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Who are those who name the name of Christ? You call yourself a Christian? You've just named the name of Christ. So he's saying here, a Christian should be what? What kind of a person? You should depart from iniquity. Look at verse, if you look with me at verse 21. It reemphasizes, the first part says, if a man therefore purge himself from these what? These vessels to dishonor, okay? If he purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. You see, God, after we receive Christ as Savior, God comes in, he begins to work, and he wants us to be pure. He calls us vessels, a pure and clean vessel. Just like no one wants to drink out of a dirty mug that's not pure and clean. No one wants to use that kind of a mug. For God to use us effectively, we need to be clean and pure from sin. We do live in this flesh, and sometimes we fall. Salvation doesn't mean we live perfect lives. When we fall into sin, we need to confess our sin. And then, as we confess and we walk with God, he begins to use us. He can't effectively use us if we are holding sin in our lives. One of the things we do in South Africa at Easter time, particularly Good Friday, we have a special service, and Christmas Day we have a special service. And beforehand, we go out and hand out invitations in the community. And a lot of children always help us. And one year, a little child comes along to help, and he's just eating some fat. Now, the Zulu people like to eat the fat. And then sometimes they take it, their skin gets very dry, and they like to put moisture on it. And so, you can get expensive to always buy, moisturizer at the store. Well, one of the things that works very great for moisturizing the skin is fat or grease. So they literally take the fat from a chunk of some meat that has some fat on it, and they rub it on their skin. See, they rub it on there because then that moisturizes the skin. And so anyway, this child had eaten this, had been eating this piece of fat without washing their hands, and they came and wanted to give out invitations, but their hands are all greasy. So what's going to happen? Well, they get the invitations greasy, and they hand them out to people, and that's not the kind of impression we want to give for our church, kids running around with, because handing out greasy invitations, So here comes this child with greasy hands, just a little chap, And so I said to him, look, we're glad you came, we want you to help, but go wash your hands first. And when your hands are clean, you can come help us. Okay, so off the child goes, washes his hands, and now he's fit. He's clean. We can use him. Now God looks down on us. He wants to use us. He wants to use you. But if you're going to follow sin and just live your life the way you want to, you cannot be for God. A couple things that were brought to my mind as I was looking at this. Don't let your love for yourself or your love of some sin keep you from being used of God. Let's be honest, folks. The real battle for sin is in the heart. It's your will. What do you want to do with your life? And you say, Brother Don, I'm in church. I'm faithful here. I'm doing something for God. Yeah, I'm glad for that. But you and I also know that day by day there are battles in the heart over our desires and our thoughts. And I hope that if you're struggling with something, maybe you should pray this prayer. Lamentations 5:21 says, turn us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. If you're finding trouble turning from a sin to the Lord, come to God and say, God, I'm struggling with this. I need you to turn me. I need you to work in my heart and my life. Turn me, O God. Because we don't always have the strength to turn ourselves from our sin. But we come to God and say, God, you turn me. And then he says,
God, you're not, your heart isn't right with him like it should be. Come to him. Say, God, I need you to renew me. I need you to turn me so I can be used. And thirdly, I want us to see to be a fit vessel who will be used of God, you need to be prepared. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So to be prepared, first of all, means you're willing to learn and grow in good works. He says here at the end of verse 21, you're prepared unto what? To every good work. God has called us all to serve him. If you're not sure what to do, just start to do a good work that God has put in front of you. God will lead you step by step as you begin to serve him. But if you're going to sit back and say, God, I'm not sure if I'm called to be a missionary, and you sit and do nothing, God probably isn't going to call you because you're not doing what he's put in front of you right now. So whatever opportunities God brings to you, ask for his help and strength and begin to do it. Your good works don't save you. We're not talking here about salvation. You're saved by faith. Follow salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What do you do with a gift? We love Christmas time, don't we? Why? Because we get gifts. And we don't get a gift because we worked hard enough during the year. We get a gift because we're part of the family. And all you have to do for a gift is do what? You just receive it. If someone in the family says, now I have a Christmas gift for you, but I tell you what, I want you to go out and you're going to shovel the snow for 2 hours, and then I'll give you this gift because you shoveled the snow. You're like, well, it's not a gift, it's a payment. Okay? All you do with a gift is you receive it. What do you do to get this forgiveness and eternal life Jesus wants to give you? You receive his gift. You open your heart and say, Jesus, I need your forgiveness. It's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. He wants to save you from hell. He wants to save you from your sin. All you do is you turn to him and put your faith in and realize he did it for you. Jesus paid it all. He died on the cross and he rose again. And all I have to do is receive it. Now you have to do it with your heart. When you receive him with your heart, he forgives you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So you're saved, and then, once you're saved, God has ordained, he has planned that as he has put good works into you, they then come out. In fact, this idea is so strong. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 20, by their fruits ye shall know them. What are the fruits? They're the works of your life. It's the result of your life. It's what people see coming out of your life. If you're an angry, bitter person, you're not showing the work of God in your life. You're showing the old nature. You're showing the way of Satan. You're showing that you have gone back and now you've let Satan gain a foothold in your life. You see, our life shows what we really believe. I hope that you realize you need to be growing and learning so when God has a job for you, you can do it. I have a discipleship time for children on Saturday mornings there in South Africa. We gather the children together, ages 9 to 15. It's pretty much what we deal with in our discipleship time Saturday mornings. And as we teach the children, we do a life skill, and then we also have a Bible study. And I try to teach the children various things, and sometimes you can just see they come, but they're not interested. Find some kids are, some aren't. So you try to teach a kid how to drive a nail, something simple like, you know, pounding a nail in. Okay? A lot of them have never had experience with that. Okay, so you teach them. And you can just see, you know, some kid just standing off to the side. You have to call them over, come. The next kid jumps in, man, he wants to pound every single nail in. You know? And you're like those guys and their children because, you know, they want to do something, all right? And the next kid, he's off looking at everything else. And you know, you have to, you know, it's like pulling teeth to try to get the kid to do anything. Some Christians are like that. You know, God brings things into our lives so that we can be used of him. I got a letter yesterday, an email from a friend of mine in one of our supporting churches. He says, hello, Brother Don. I have a prayer request for you. I have been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, which has spread into my liver, kidneys, and spine. And then he went on another email to explain he's got tumors in 7 spots on his spine. I am in much intense back pain, but praising the Lord for the way he is moving in the hearts of people we meet. It's a hard thing to go through something like that.
But you know what this brother realizes? He is a vessel for God's use. And in the midst of his intense pain and the fact that he might not have long here on earth, he realizes that God is using this so he can touch other lives. And in the midst of intense pain, he says, thank God for those that I'm meeting, and God is using this in their life. He understands he's a vessel. Isn't how long he has left. And he's not an old man, by the way. He's younger than I am. Okay, I'm an old man, but okay. I think he's, they have some young children. I think he's probably in his 40s. He's not, you know, it's not that he's lived a long life, but God has brought that into his life. We know God could heal him if God chooses, but it looks pretty bad for him. But yet, in the midst of this, he is realizing that God is using this. To what? To touch other lives. Folks, that's why God has left us here on earth. That our life will touch other lives for the glory of God. It will be an honor unto him. So I hope you're a person who's willing to learn and grow. I don't care how old you are, we're still learning and growing in the Lord. One of the things I often tell our people in South Africa, folks, even though I'm your pastor, I'm still growing in the Lord. We all need to be growing together. If you ever get to the point where you think, now I've learned it all, I don't have to grow anymore, that means you're backsliding. We're always growing. All this goodness and the blessings, the fruit of the Spirit that God has put into us, we're always learning how to live that out. It's a wonderful thing to work with God in that. So to be prepared, you need to be willing to learn and grow in good works. But secondly, to be prepared, you need to flee youthful lust. Verse 22 says this, flee also youthful lusts. You know full well the things that tempt you. There are different things that tempt different ones of us here. But you know the things that tempt you. And the Bible says, flee, run from them, avoid them. Don't dwell on them. When the temptation comes in your heart or mind, instead of thinking upon it, you resist it. Hear the expression, just say no? That helps. Let me tell you something else that helps even more. Quote a verse. When you're tempted, quote a verse. I'm just amazed at how the Lord helps me to resist the temptation when I just quote a verse. You say, what verse? Any verse that comes to your mind. Now, if you have particular temptations, it helps to think a verse along that line, but sometimes a temptation comes, and all I can think of is Romans 3:23. I use that a lot when I'm out witnessing. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, okay? And that's all I can think of. I quote that verse, and it's amazing. The temptation and Satan and the demons, they hate the word of God, and it helps. I hope at night as you're laying in bed, before you fall asleep, you're running scripture through your mind. There's a lot of temptations that come into the heart and mind at those times we're laying in bed before we fall asleep. And rather than think on the temptations, if you force yourself to think on the word of God, it's amazing how the wrong thoughts begin to flee. Why? Because you're filling it with the word of God. We had a young man that was in our church there in South Africa, young Zulu man, and he went off to university. I was a little concerned. There's some things that happened with some of his friends. On the way to university, I was talking to him about being careful, and he says, oh, Pastor Don, don't worry. I know my heart. Well, then I was really worried. Because you know what Jeremiah 17, I think it's 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Always said, I know my heart. He got in with the wrong friends at university and became an alcoholic. Began drinking. What happened? Instead of avoiding the temptation, he succumbed to it. He hooked up with the wrong people. Now, maybe you're not tempted to become an alcoholic, but for you it might be the internet or the wrong things on television or dwell on the wrong thoughts. And the Bible says, do what? Flee. Don't hold them. Don't run to them. Run from them. And you ask God to give you strength to resist that and to move away from the temptation, to avoid the temptation, not to give into it. Thirdly, to be prepared, you need to follow righteousness. Look at the second part of verse 22. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. To be prepared, you need to follow righteousness. Sometimes people are wondering about what exactly God has called them to do in life. If you will follow the last half of this verse, you'll be so busy following the call of God that you won't have to worry. What does he say? But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Wow. You get busy doing that, and you're going to soon find, wow, God did call me to something, didn't he? And my life is starting to touch other people's lives because I'm following what God has called me to do. And then he'll give you a particular place to do that. We travel around a lot and we get into a lot of homes, and it's amazing to see how few Christians really have a real desire to follow right what is right in all things. A lot of Christians will go so far, and it's like, don't meddle now. And there are those touchy issues that come up among Christians. It's a blessing when you see someone who just wants to do everything they can for God. In South Africa, we have trouble with some children sometimes who run the streets and don't want to go to school. In the earlier days, there was school fees they had to pay. Now the government has said you can't force anybody to pay school fees. In the public schools, that is. There are private schools where you have to pay. But if you go to the government school, they can't force you. If you're poor, they can't force you to pay fees. And the problem with that is the government pays the teachers, but they don't pay for the facilities of the school and, you know, electric and water and the buildings themselves and repair and all that kind of thing. The school has to raise money for that, so there are certain school fees that they have to pay. But they can't force anybody to do it. But there were some kids in the community there, and I saw them just running the streets. They weren't going to school, and so I talked to them, and they said, yeah, we go to school, but, you know, our parents didn't put us in. Well, their parents were alcoholics. So I went to their parents and said, is it okay if I put your kids in school, if I get your kids in? They said, no, that's fine, we don't mind that. So I went to the principal and sat down and talked about the situation. We got the children in school. Well, Monday morning in our area is trash day. And the garbage truck comes around. We set our trash out by the street. Garbage truck comes and carries off the rubbish. And we have certain people there who, before the truck comes, they go around. Their job is they go around and look through everybody's trash and find any useful stuff they can get. Well, this is what these kids were doing. That's their mother does that, and she's done it for years, and that's what the kids would do. So Monday morning, now I've helped get these kids in school, but Monday morning I see them there up and down the street looking in people's garbage bags and picking out what they can get. So I was out for a walk one morning, and I see four kids I've helped get into school. I know they're registered in school. I've helped buy them school uniforms. All the schools there where they all wear school uniforms. And usually it's the nicest clothes that the kids have. Anyway, they're in their street clothes and they're looking through the trash. So they see me look down the street. They see Pastor Don coming. So off they run. They run up around the corner and up the street. So, okay, I'm going to have a little fun with this, you know. So I go jogging up the street. And so they see me and they run around another corner. So come around the corner and there are no kids there. Okay, where are they hiding now? Let's look around. Three of them in a tree up here, and other kids down in the culvert over here, hiding down in the dip behind me. Okay, guys, what's going on now? No, our mother sent us out. Our mother said we have to go out here and look through the garbage and find stuff to bring home. Okay. And so, you know, what's happening? How are the kids going to succeed in school if they aren't there? They're registered, they're a student, but they're just off doing whatever they want to do. Now, maybe you've signed up with God. What I mean by that is you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're in his family. But are you too busy off running and doing things with your life that you want to do, and you're not fulfilling God's call for your life? You're not a proper, clean vessel that can be used of God because you're not fully dedicated to him like you ought to be. You know God wants to use you. He really does. First of all, you need to be saved. And then you need to be a clean vessel. Now, if you're saved, God has put his righteousness in you, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's given you the fruit of the Spirit. You need his help to live it out. If you're delaying, if you're holding back, if there's something that in your life is blocking you from keeping you from serving God like you should be. You know what he wants you to do today? He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Today he wants to make you a clean vessel. He doesn't want you to be like this mug that has this muck and dirt in it that no one would want to use for their own drink. He wants you to be a clean and pure person. You'll never be clean in yourself, but with his help you can be. And if there's something between you and God today, won't you confess it? And say, God, I know you've given me a ministry. I know you want to use me. So God, I'm coming to you. I'm asking you to turn me. I'm asking you to renew me. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to cleanse me. And as hard as it is, it might be to give up something in your life, the peace and joy that you have when you give that over to God and say, God, just take it from me. Wow, the peace and joy floods your heart. What a wonderful blessing it is to serve God. If there's something you need to confess to God, you do that today. And the pastors, pastor, you're going to close. You have a song, okay? We're going to sing here in just a minute. If you've never received Christ as Savior, make sure before you leave, talk to one of us. I'll be down front here. If you want to come down and talk to me and pray to receive Christ as Savior, you can come forward even as we sing the closing song. If you need to get something right with God, you can do it in your seat. I wouldn't even encourage you to wait till you get home. Do it right here, right now. If you want to come down here and pray or come talk to me, fine. I'll be down here. But we're going to close in a song. And I just want to encourage you. Realize God wants to use you. Not because he has to. He wants to. The greatest blessing is life when you know that your life has touched the life of other people. By God's grace, he's helping us do that in South Africa. By God's grace, these folks are preparing to go to Colombia, South America, to do that. Blessing to be used of God. So, brother, I'm going to pray, and then you come and we'll have our... What number is the song? 477. So you can turn to 477. And if you want to come forward and talk to me, you may do that. And as they come up to the instruments, let me just pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for saving us. I thank you for these dear people. They love you, Lord. That's why they're here. And yet maybe someone's love has grown cold. Maybe they've allowed something to come into their life. And maybe, Lord, there's someone you're calling to a specific ministry, maybe even to foreign missions. I pray they'll answer that call. What a blessing, Lord, it is to serve you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.